This was going to be the message I was going to preach this morning, and then I changed it, and I don't know if I should have done that or not. I had zero liberty to preach today. I don't know why. It was just, I mean, I spit it out, but that's about it. I didn't have any freedom, no, it was just a struggle. Anybody preaches knows what I'm talking about. You're just struggling to get out what you got to say. It's not. But anyway, I spit it out, and you got it. I'm loud, Daryl, loud. Thank you. Psalm chapter 8, verse 4. And the Bible says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and our fellowship time tonight that we could get back together and be in your house, worship you. Lord, as I said this morning, Lord, anything we pour out on you is not a waste, and we understand that, at least most of us do. And Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, again, our minds can be clear and hearts ready, Lord, to see what you would say to us tonight. And Lord, so we commit that into your care. We need you, Lord. We need your spirit. We need to be filled. Lord, pour your spirit out on this meeting here tonight. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't give Eileen the notes. The title of the message is Will, Weakness, and Wherewithal. Will, Weakness, and Wherewithal. And the very first thing it says in our text in verse 4, the very first thing is, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Question mark right there. You know, in that short sentence, what is man? We talked about this a lot. You know, the purpose, my son and daughter, my daughter and son-in-law's here. I don't have to rag on them tonight when I get home. Feel better already. They were over in Bedford, so they were coming in. You know, when we think about our purpose, and this kind of goes right along with even what I said today, this morning, you know, that there's more to our salvation than just being saved. Amen. I mean, listen, that's just one part of it. I don't even know if it's the main part. I mean, of course, God, we had to have redemption. We had to be saved so that God could use us in any way, shape, or form. We're designed to have the indwelling Christ in us. That is God in us. It's the Christ life that we've been talking about here for months and months. We're designed for that, and that people should see Christ in us, not a reflection. Man, I hate that term. If we're reflecting Christ, I'm going to tell you what, he's not in the right place. If we reflect him, he's on the outside. But when he's on the inside, he should be seen through us, you know, from us. That's the way, that's the reality of it right there. I know people use that term sometime, and that's probably what they mean, but really reflection is a different thing. And so that's really our purpose. That's the purpose. I mean, we know our purpose from the Wednesday night group is to glorify God. We know that's our purpose, to glorify God. And so salvation is just the first thing. We're saved, we're redeemed. Now we have a relationship with God. Why? Why do we have a relationship with God? We have a relationship with God just so we feel good, huh? Just so we can get, like I said, that little warm, fuzzy feeling, your hair standing up on the back of your neck, or so you can do some kind of great thing and have your own flesh glorified? No. We have a relationship with God so that he can reveal himself to the world through us, and that's what he wants to do, probably the main purpose that he wants to do. And so if our purpose is to glorify God, let me ask you this. Do you live like that's your purpose? Do you live like that is your purpose, to glorify God? And do you live for your purpose, whatever your plans are? What is your purpose then? Say if it's not to glorify God, what is man's purpose? What does man think? Make more money, buy more toys, take more trips, get the most out of or most enjoyment out of life, or try to keep up with everybody else, whatever they got going on in their life. I was reading the book, one of the books that Ron had out there. It's that Ian Thomas book, The Indwelling Life of Christ. I was reading that in the very beginning of it. I shared this during VBS with my adult class over here. So if you were here, you just catch it again. But anyway, it tells a little a story. It's not a real story, but it was used as an illustration. And the story was this, that there was these aliens in outer space. I'm not saying we believe in aliens or he does either, but we're just using it for an illustration. There was aliens in outer space, and they were super intelligent. And because of their super intelligence, they knew that there was Earth. They knew there was a planet Earth, and they knew that man was on Earth, and they found out that man was made to reveal God to everybody else. And so they thought, well, you know what? We want to find out what God is like. So they got a delegation together. they got a delegation. They got on their spaceship. I was thinking about a comedian I know that talks about that. He goes, yeah, I got a bucket of chicken. Told the kids to make sure they peed. They wasn't going to stop at every planet on the way home, on the way down there. But anyway, that's another story. I'll give you a funny one on that. But they decided they're going to go to Earth. And they're gonna find out what God is like. And so they come to Earth, and when they landed on a vacant lot in a major city. And they got out of the spaceship, and when they walked out, the first thing they saw, they saw a drunk laying on the sidewalk, passed out, own vomit laying there. And of course, they didn't know anything about drunk, and they didn't know that. And they walked over there, you know, and they kicked him a little bit, and all he did was moan and groan as he rolled over, and they didn't know nothing. They thought, well, you know, they couldn't get nothing out of him. So they went down the street, and then they saw two guys in the alley. They was in a knife fight. Man, I mean, blank stares on their faces, and they're trying to kill each other. They got scars on their arms where they'd done this before. And, man, they saw that, and they thought, man, they just kept on moving. And they heard some noise in a place on the left side, off the sidewalk, and they looked in there in the bar, and there was people sitting in there with drinks with blank stares on their faces, and they looked around at them, and on the TV, the news was on, and the news was talking about, you know, the wars that were going on, and it was talking about terrorist bombings that had been taking place, and murders and rapes, and government corruption in government places, and corruption in businesses, and then they saw sports stars and people in entertainment acting stupid on TV, which is what they do. But they saw all that, and they said, "Man, this place stinks. Let's get out of here," and they left. Now, what we know is, they didn't see God. What they saw was sin. They didn't see what God was like. They saw what sin was like, is what they actually saw. But the Bible says that we were created in God's image, and that people should see what God was like. So what happened along the way? What has happened along the way? And so we think, and I know we think we can categorize like today, there's lost people and saved people. The saved people are supposed to, we're the ones that people are supposed to see God in, but is that a reality? Is that a reality in our life? So a couple things, we see three points, I think, three or four I got. One of them is, the very first thing is will, the will. Genesis 1, familiar verse 1:26 and 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. That's probably a good verse for today, isn't it? Male and female, he created thee them. So God created Adam, and of course we know then later he created Eve, and he created man in his image. Doesn't mean physical image, but it means the internal part. I mean, we do have a body, we do have a soul, we do have a spirit. Man has the capacity to think. That's what God made us this way. God made us with a capacity to think. He gave us the capacity to react. He gave us the capacity to decide. God is God, right? God, you know what? God has a will. Let me put it that way. God has a will. And therefore, if we're made in the image of God, we have a will as well. Mind, emotion, and a will. That's really where the soul is, your mind, emotion, and will. All right, there's your soul. And this is where human behavior is determined. Decisions are made. See, we think about things. We make decisions based on how we think, what we think about, and behavior is decided on that right there. So whatever controls our mind ultimately controls our will. You know, your mind and your heart are so closely connected. Your mind and heart. You know, what's on your mind is going to get in your heart. And what's in your heart will get in your mind. It kind of goes around in a circle like that, right? So, now you think about, okay, the animal world. When we look at the animal world, when we watch animals react and things like that, they share some of the same things. Not the capacity for God the way we do. They don't have that. But they do have some of the same things. Do they have a will? They do have a will, and they do have emotion. The experiment is find you a hornet's nest and take a stick. Go out there and just smack the fire out of it. You will see anger. They will get angry. And then you'll see their will. They will decide to attack, and they have intelligence enough to know who and where to attack. One of them lawns, I mow this one lady's lawn every year. I always dread it when it gets kind of dry. I was having a panic attack when we had that drought. I was hoping it was going to rain. But what happens is them hornets will make those nests in the ground. And they only got a little bitty hole, man. I'm looking now. I'm mowing the grass. I ain't even paying attention to where I'm going. I'm looking for a hole, man. I'm just trying, you know, I'm running. And you go out there, and I'll have my lawn. I have long pants on when I mow, and man, I have my hat on and everything. You run over that yellow jacket's nest in the ground. They don't sting the lawnmower. They don't get on my jeans. Huh? It's just either on your arm, on your ear, on your neck, somewhere that they know they can get to. They are slick enough to get on you where they can get you. Huh? And bam. And man, that's an aggravating thing. And sting you, then you got to ride around and deal with it. And I got to run over at dark and throw gas down the hole. I got a nest now. When we go out our back door, thanks to man's best friend, our dog, we don't have the brick mold or the J channel that's supposed to be with the vinyl siding that goes right up against the door. She done tore out three times in the front and once in the back, and until she bites the dust, I ain't putting it back. Because as soon as a thunderstorm comes up, I come home and it's all out in the yard along with a bunch of siding pieces. Well, now the yellow jackets have got down there at the bottom of the back door. They saw a hole in there and they're going in and out. And apparently they have gone up in there far enough to where I sprayed the hornet stuff in there, and Kyle sprayed someday, but it's not killing them. They must be up above it. So I'm going to spray tomorrow. I'm getting that spray foam insulation. I'm foaming them in. And, you know, I figure that'll do it. I hope maybe that'll find a way to get in the house. But one way or the other, we're going to kill them or get stung one or the other. But Kimber got stung, the dog. She got stung on the eye yesterday. When you go out now, you got to watch out, get by them, and go out. But so they've got a will, they've got emotion, they've got anger. They know when and how to attack. But it's not the same as man's. Animals have something God gave them. God gave them instinct. And because of instinct, animals can become very predictable in what they do. Hunters, you guys know about that, right? You know about deer, and you find a food source and that's the only one around, you're going to get you a deer right there, right? Because they are so predictable. So animals have instinct. Man does not have instinct. Animals don't have a moral relationship with God. They have to do, they must do what they do. That's what they do. But man has a choice. Now, some people don't think man does have a choice. But if that was the case, then once you got saved, would you ever sin? If you sin before and or after salvation, God made you do it? You got a choice, didn't you? You made a decision. You made the wrong decision. So we think about Adam. We go back and God created man in his own image, and there was a choice that confronted Adam. We have a choice. Why? Because we're made in the image of God, and God chooses, right? So Adam was created, when you think about this, and I've thought about this a lot. All right, Adam had a choice before sin entered. And I thought about the angels in heaven too. They made a choice too, some of them, didn't they? They made a choice to disobey God. So they had a choice. We had a choice Man had a choice. Adam was created innocent. He was morally neutral. He wasn't holy. He wasn't sinful. He was just innocent. He was in the middle. But he had the will, the choice to make the wrong choice. He could do the wrong thing without sin, you know, because we think about this in our life. We say, look, okay, we're sinners, right? So we know the old sin nature drags us away to the wrong thing, right? You don't have to, listen, you don't have to strain yourself to sin. It's like falling off a log, huh? I mean, you know, you can do it easy. I mean, you can just, nowadays, and now, you know, in the old days, you had to, you know, you really had to try to sin. You had to, way back before they have all the stuff, TV on 24 hours, internet and all that kind of stuff that's out there for you. You know, you had to really struggle to get into some sin. Man, you don't have to now. Satan got it on a silver platter, man. Look wherever, well, my phone's back there, but right there, man, you got all the sin in the world you need right there on the phone, and it's right there, easy to get to, and man, Satan's having a field day with that. But here he was neutral, he wasn't sinful, he wasn't holy, but yet he still had a choice, and he still made the wrong choice. And the angels in heaven, they made the wrong choice. And so God told Adam, he said, okay, look, in 2:9 back in Genesis, you guys know this stuff, but I'll lay it on you anyway. 2:9, it says, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then he went on, and I think he told, okay, in verse 17, well, in verse 16, it said, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So as soon as God said that, Adam, here's this tree and here's that tree, this tree you can eat and this tree you can't eat of, there was a choice to be made. If it wasn't a choice, God wouldn't have to say anything. You know, he wouldn't have said anything. He would have just said, Adam, you just down there living, don't worry about it. I'm going to make you do everything right. You don't have to worry about it. Now, here was what the deal was. Adam, you know, he had this will. He had a choice. He didn't operate with instinct like the animals must do, but he could choose. He didn't have a sense of right or wrong because he hadn't eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He didn't know. He didn't have a sense of that. But what happened was he should have, and the way God designed him, and it's still the same way that God has designed you and me, is that we would refer everything back to God. God, what should I do? That's what God wants today. He wants the same thing. And that's what Adam, when God came in the cool of the evening and talked with Adam, I mean, Adam could have talked about it, you know, with God. And God told him, listen, don't do it. But, you know, he did. God wants exactly what God wants with us today. Refer everything back to him, right? Because we still are prone to make the wrong choice, right? Easy as falling off a log, like I said. So he decided to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when he did that, what he did was, and listen, here's our deal right here. This is our deal with us. I'm probably talking mostly to Christians right here today. And, you know, this probably would have been a good evangelistic message, I think, as well. But he acted independent of God. Woo! Here we go, right? You don't get a lot of amens on this one, brother. Huh? He acted independent of God. Every time that we disobey God, we've acted independent of God. Huh? Every time. And I'm going to tell you what, just think about it. Even in the sense of what about every day-to-day life, even when you're going in a direction that would not be against the Word of God, it wouldn't be sin. If we act that way without referring it back to God, it would still kind of be sin, wouldn't it? Huh? Because you get in trouble in a hurry doing the right thing. We just pray. A lot of times people just pray about the big thing, the big crisis in their life, or they got a big decision they got to make. Not the day-to-day, huh? You know? Things, how God's leading you, how God's going, you know, I think God wants communication on the whole thing. So he acted independent of God. And this is one thing, you know, Adam was not a complete natural man until he ate of the tree of garden of knowledge of good and evil. He was not complete because he didn't know right or wrong. Now, he'd been better off if he didn't know. But as far as a natural man, he became complete when he ate of that tree. Now he knew. He knew right, he knew wrong, He knew guilt. He knew everything that we know. He knew guilt. He knew fear. He knew shame. He knew all those things. He possessed independent judgment. He became a self-sufficient being. But now he had no life from God, spiritual life. And the worst thing, he allied himself with Satan. Boy, that ought to help us right there. I'm going to tell you what, that ought to help us in day-to-day life. When we're thinking about doing something that we shouldn't do. Y'all ever think about doing something you shouldn't do? If you start looking at it like that, I'm allying myself with Satan. Huh? Hey, but how about let's try that? Next time you get tempted by something, boy, if I do that, I'm going to ally myself with Satan. You might say, I'm not going to do that. You might, you know, this might help you along the way. Life's a little way there, right there. And so now what happened was he had this self-life. Now we know. We inherited this from him. And what do we struggle with today more than anything? Huh? The old number one enemy, it's not Satan. It's not the world. It's not the devil. It's flesh. It's ourself. That's who we struggle with the most more than anything. Man, I don't struggle with Satan. If I can see the devil from the outside in a lot of things, and that there will bristle up on that. But boy, old self, when he's on the inside out, that old Trojan horse business, he's on the inside out. And so we struggle with it. And what happened was when that happened, now Adam could not show forth the glory of God. He could not show that because he was a separated being from the spiritual life. Why is that? Here's the thing. The glory of God is God himself. The glory of God is God himself. It's not an external thing from God. The glory of God will show forth the glory of God, and our purpose is to glorify God. So we'll show forth the glory of God when we're full of God. God himself, that's it. I mean, it's simple. It's right there in the Word of God, but we don't think about it a lot of times that way. It's God himself, the Holy Spirit of God showing forth. And so that's how we will glorify God. And it's only the only way. We don't have it within ourselves to glorify God. See, that old sinful flesh will start lying to you. And that pride will start thinking that you're going to show forth the glory of God in your strength. Uh-uh. Only way you can do it is God himself living in us. So we see we have a will. And the next thing we see, well, now the big problem is we got a weakness. We got a weakness. The glory we are supposed to reveal is derived glory, pretty much what I was saying. It's exclusively dependent upon the presence of the Creator within the creature. It's derived glory. It's not our own. We can't work it up. We can't produce it. It's derived from God himself. God himself. But rebellion and sin has separated man from God, and therefore there's no glory to be seen. We should understand that already. A couple of good illustrations. You know, a lamp, in the old days they had oil lamps. I still have one in case we have a power outage, one of them old hurricane lamps. Keep that baby. It's great. My great-grandmother, she had electricity, but she had an old wood stove, a cook stove. She had an electric stove. She kept the pots and pans in the electric stove to use on the wood cook stove. And we'd go there, and, you know, she was a man. She was 80 years old, 80-some years old, and she'd be reading her Bible with a coal lamp, and me and my dad would get in. Of course, she raised my dad, and Dad, he called her Mommy. All the adults did, even called her that way, said it that way. He said, Mommy, what are you doing reading the Bible in there? She goes, well, the electric lights hurt my eyes. My dad said, them electric lights ain't hurting your eyes. I said, reading the Bible under them lights is what's hurting your eyes in the long run, you know. But she used that oil lamp. Well, an oil lamp is made to have oil in it. And if it don't have oil in it, what good is it? Huh? It ain't nothing but a dust collector, right? It will not work. A car, they're great until they run out of gas. You ever try pushing one of them things very far? Huh? It doesn't work with no gas in it. And a Christian is designed to have Christ in him. Or let me even say it this way. A human is designed to have Christ in him. And guess what? It don't work either. He don't work either if Christ is not in there. It just doesn't work for what it's intended to do. I guess you could take one of them old oil lamps and use it for a paperweight, but that isn't what it's designed to do. Huh? That old car, you know, we could jack it up and put it on blocks out in the front yard to make our property look a little better and have it for that, but that's not what it's designed to do. Right? Y'all, some of y'all will get this, but that's not what it's designed to do. Huh? And so a human being can get some, can do some things in the world without God, but that's not what he's designed to do. You got to have what you're designed to have. So we need to function as we're supposed to function. See, we need God, what he really intended. So how much of the world is functioning not the way God intended? What all the aliens that came from space saw when they got to the big city was not what God intended for to be seen. That wasn't what it is, but what do we see in the world we live in? Look at what we see. I mean, in this little community right here, it don't have to be on the news, huh? We know about the dope heads. Man, we know about the alcoholics. We know about suicide. We know about all kind of crime. We know about fornication. We know about alcoholism. We know everything. Man, we know it's a small town. Everybody's related for one thing. I know I'm talking about your relatives. We know about it. That's not glorifying God. It's not what God intended man to do. It's not. And man will never do what God intended him to do until he's full of God. That's just the way it is. That's our purpose. And you'll never be happy until you do what you're intended to do. You'll never be satisfied. You'll never have peace in your soul and in your spirit. It's never going to happen until you're functioning like God intended you to function. And you never will until you're full of God. That's just the way it is. Christ is Christianity. Now, God gave the law, and listen, we have tons of laws today, right? I think I said this on Bible school. He gave 10 commandments. There's other laws, but they generally cover everything. And we've added all kind of laws on top of the laws that they have there. The books are getting thicker and thicker and thicker. Every time Congress goes to, you know, they pass laws. They legislate laws. We haven't regulated a thing. The threat, we've got capital punishment. Has that stopped anybody from committing murder? I mean, it don't get any more serious than that. They was hanging people. They were electrocuting people. They lethal injection people, firing squads. People still murder. So the laws, you know, you can't legislate righteousness. That's never going to work. Laws are broken every day, all because of the weakness that we have. All because of we're weakness, you know, and you guys understand that. Now we get to the last point, and that is the wherewithal. The wherewithal. And all this, everything that's happened, it was in God's plan. And I think we talked about it in Bible school, that God had to, there was a way that God could show us. We had to see our weakness. What do you do today? We talked to somebody we got to get them lost. You know, Ray Comfort, we talked about him, talked about that today. Ray Comfort, man, he takes them to, you got to take somebody to the law to show them that they're a sinner, that they're lost. You got to get them lost. So all of this had to happen because man, and you back right up. Why? Because God gave man that will. God gave man that will, and we messed it up. And so he's got to show us that we're weak without him. Adam was fine as long as he just kept leaning on God, but he didn't do it. We've got to find out that they're in us is no good thing. And then we have to understand that even as a saved person, yeah, we're not going to hell. Yeah, we're going to heaven. Yeah, we got eternal life. But I'm telling you what, we're not going to do anything. We're not going to glorify God if we're not full of God. Even as a saved person, we can make a bigger mess probably than a lost person, man, because one thing, we're a contradiction. We're a child of God living like a child of the devil, man. I mean, that's a bigger contradiction. I expect a lost person to live like a devil, but not God's people. No, it's a bigger contradiction. And so the wherewithal, the cross, and Jesus paid the wages of sin for you and I. That took place. And then the death, burial, and resurrection, and the sending of the Holy Spirit. All those things, you know, even that, you think about the sending of the Holy Spirit. You can probably focus on that. We know about the death of Jesus. That was a sacrificial death that paid for our sin. We understand that. I mean, that's easy to get. That's why that happened. That the wages of sin was death, and so we had to have the wages of sin paid for, and Jesus did that. And then we know about the resurrected life. One of the things that God did by the resurrection that proved that he was God, that Jesus was God in the flesh, that proved that. Right? But the sending of the Holy Spirit, why? Why did he send the Holy Spirit? Just so you can get feeling good? No, like I said, no, because we had the weakness and we had to have the wherewithal. We had to have the power. We had to have the power of God in our life. Why? Well, yeah, to get to victory over the flesh, sure. Yeah, we had to have it for that. But why do we need victory over the flesh if we're saved? Why do we got to have that? Because our purpose is to glorify God. And you can't glorify God without God. And then we're going to show forth God to the world and to be a witness and to take and you know, bring people to Christ and live a life that's pleasing to God and have fellowship with God. And then God wants you to have joy. God wants you to have peace, you know. Galatians 5:22, there's what he's got. You can't have it apart from God. All the well, it's a singular fruit of the Spirit that produces all those other things. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, meekness, whatever else it is, I don't know off the top of my head. We can't have those. But why do we? You know, that's just. And but that is just the icing on the cake. That's not the main purpose. The main purpose is to glorify God, to have God in us shining forth. That's it. We got to get that straight in our mind. So much more. Move past. I'm saved and I'm not going to hell. Move past that. I am living. I am to be living. Proof of God and that God is seen in me because I am filled with God, the Christ life, him living in me, God living in me. Think about that. There's a lot much more going on than just our sin paid for. Ron had a message, I think, the first time I heard him about participation. Remember that, Paul? What was it, participation and not imitation? Is that what it was? Participation and not imitation. A lot of people say, well, you know, we're to imitate Christ. No, we're not. We're not to imitate anything, man. I don't want an imitation. I want the real thing. There's another term you hear in Christianity. Well, we're going to reflect Christ. We're going to imitate Christ. That's our problem. We're imitating him. It's not real. Huh? We're trying to imitate. You can't imitate him. He's got to live it out through you. That's the whole deal right there. So, and what's the participation? What is the participation? We participate in his death, huh? Self, dying, crucified. That's the participation. And then we participate in the resurrection. It was a new life, by the way. In old Jesus' old life, man, he was bound by the same things that we're bound. He couldn't walk through the doors and all those things right there. But now he was the resurrected life, man. It was a whole different life. He shined, man. It was visible, boy. He could walk through the door, walk through a wall. He was in a room, man. He was present there. But, you know, are we going to do that? No, but it does show us that there's no boundaries to what God can do in us if we are filled with the Spirit of God, right? I mean, that's what that's supposed to be. So the crucifixion of ourself and the resurrection of Christ's life. You know, I am crucified with Christ, yet I live, not I, but Christ that lives within me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I now live by the faith of the Son of God. See, it's even his faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Why? Because a dead man can't have any faith. Who loved me and gave himself for me. It's the Christ life. There it is. So the purpose of redemption in God is God's glory. That's really the purpose of redemption, the main purpose of redemption. Man's thought is always on the punishment that will come if he sins. God's thought is always on the glory man will miss if he sins. God knows what you're going to miss. That's what he knows. You know, the presence of God within the Christian is what makes us unique. I mean, uniqueness is a tangible thing. You can see it. Maybe even hear it. And it makes us unique. And this is what God intended, that our life would be so unique that there's absolutely no explanation for it but God himself within us. That's what it's supposed to be. Man, I'm going to tell you what, you know, I mean, it took me a long time to get this. Years of being a Christian. I shared with y'all here a couple weeks, last week or something. I've witnessed to more people in the last couple years outside the church than I have all the other lives of my Christianity, all the rest of my Christianity put together since 1987. I've witnessed to more people. Why? Because God's telling me, talking to me. He was before too. I just wouldn't do it. I would get out of it. I'd talk myself out of it. I'd make excuses. I wouldn't do what God told me to do. And then what happens is when you start doing what God wants you to do, man, there's this, boy, you know, you just feel the presence of God and you feel like your purpose, you know your purpose is fulfilled. You know what you're doing, you know. I mean, I've shared, you know, I've told you, I talked to a guy in the middle of the turkey hunting woods that I ran into, didn't know him from the man of the moon. I talked to him about the Lord. I led my hunting guide, which I did spend a lot of time with him, to the Lord in Colorado. I talk to people at the campground just cruising around. They didn't know what they was getting to. They were just having a nice little morning walk. Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Come over here. And I started talking to them about the Lord. And they liked it, I guess. I mean, they didn't run off, but, you know, it didn't matter. It doesn't matter. I mean, I was being nice to him, approached him the right way, listen to God, let him give you some smarts on the matter. But I mean, it's just, I look forward to talking to somebody. We was at the carnival the other night, Sherry and I. We got some neighbors that live down there on Culpeper Street. They got a whole pile of kids. And I always say, man, I need to stop there and talk to the guy. How long have I been saying this? 2, 3, 4 years. I need to stop there and talk to the guy, you know, talk to him about the Lord or something. We're standing there at the carnival the other night. Charlie is riding on the rides. Kyle. I look around and I told Sherry, I said, hey, there's our neighbors. They're like, I'm here to that little poster on the wall. I said, there's our neighbors that live down there in Culpeper. I said, let's go over and talk to them. Whatever. Hey, how you doing, man? Introduced myself. Told them I was a pastor down there. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, man. They knew where I was talking about. They used to go to church. Found out something about them, man. Talk to them, invite them to church, find out where they're at, be a friend. You know, God told me to do that. God said, go over and talk to them people right there. That girl that got saved here the other night. I mean, God was wearing me out 2 nights in a row. She was looking at me, and I knew how she was looking at me. I said, that girl right there. And God said, that's the one, that's the one, that's the one. And did that ever happen years before? Yeah. Uh-huh. But I just, and boy, she come out of there, and I said, she had some kinfolk in there, and I thought, I said, man, I hope they don't come with her. And she come out, and they went that way. And I come down, and I started right around here. And I got right here, and she was coming right there by that chair right there, and she looked at me going, we sat down right there. Boy, she broke down crying, man. She said, yeah, she wanted to be saved. And so, you know, but God, I mean, the thing is, it's listening to what, it's just, God tell you all the same thing. It's not me. It's not. It's just doing what God tells you to do. You telling me that God never tells you to talk to somebody about the Lord? I mean, man, listen, you know what? He's going to put the words in there. That's it. That's the crucified life. Did old self want to do it? Uh-uh. No, self did not want to do it. Self didn't want to talk to them people. Self didn't want to talk to that guy turkey hunting. We talked 45 minutes about hunting. And God was just killing me. You're going to talk to him 45 minutes about hunting. You're going to walk away and not talk about me. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. I'd already burned up more time. I was wanting to go on home. It was getting late in the morning, man. You get antsy, man. Nah, man, I got to. Self didn't want to do it. Nah, man, self don't never want to do it. Self don't never want to do what God wants you to do, really, unless there's some kind of pride involved in it. You're going to get something like that out of it. Should be no explanation. I told that guy in the woods, I said, why do you think I'm talking to you? I said, man, I was getting wound up, man. I could feel God moving. I said, why do you think I'm talking to you today? I said, tell you what, it's not me, man. It's God, man. God is in me, and he's telling me, listen, this is what you need to do. I was trying to show him how real it was, and because he was wondering about that. And so I went with that right there. Listen, here's the last little thing. I'm almost done. Redemption has given us far more than Adam ever lost. Far more. Adam had a outward relationship with God. We have an inward relationship. We have God in us. He didn't have that. We have God in us. And he's made us partakers of the very life of God. Adam didn't have that. He that hath the Son hath life. That's what the Bible says. What life do you have? An independent self-life? Or the life of God. Saul, stand. Bad. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight, Lord. Thank you for the liberty to preach tonight and freedom there. And I pray that our hearts have been spoken to by your word tonight, by you, Lord, and not me. Lord, help us to be everything you intended us to be. Lord, well, there's power in that, doing what you'd have us to do, Lord. So we'll put that matter into your hands tonight. In Jesus' name I pray.